Miss Noel, reel two.
I found a big difference in that. We did it because we wanted to. It was much more wishing to do things in the first one. Much more. Well, we certainly got a lot of dirty work to do, but then the probationers did in the first war. After all, I suppose I was registered in that hospital more as a probationer than I was as a VAD, because I wore probationer's uniform. But I worked with the VADs and really considered myself one of them. I hadn't actually joined, as I say. And we did get the dirty work to do. But then in those days, the probationers did get dirty work to do, more so than now.
Did you spend time in both the medical and the surgical ward?
No. I didn't go into a medical ward till between the wars, when I went to York Military Hospital.
Was that by choice or coincidence?
I was a mobile VAD, and one had to do a certain amount of training in a military hospital to be a mobile VAD, and I did mine in York, and there I did go into a medical ward, but only for a very short time.
Why, during the First World War, were you never in medical wards?
I don't quite know. I suppose I wasn't long enough at the general, perhaps, to be moved into one. And then at Welbeck, they were more mixed up, because it was a smaller hospital. And there were mostly surgical cases. For one thing, the Duchess of Portland very kindly had, I think, three beds, or four beds, in Sir Douglas Shields nursing home in London, which she paid for. And some of the men went for these very serious operations to Sir Douglas Shields. But they were surgical, you see, and we used to get them when they were tipped out of the nursing home, so that we were really much more surgical than medical.
In Nottingham they were both, but you were just in the surgical,
in the surgical
ward.
Mm-hmm.
How many nurses and VADs would there be in the ward?
In Nottingham?
Nottingham, yes.
Oh, well, that I wouldn't really know.
Did there seem to be enough, or were you desperately overworked?
No, it wasn't that we were overworked, but we were hard worked, in that, as I say, you could never sit for a rest. Not that one wanted to sit idly and rest, but it would have been nice occasionally to rest one's feet, but no. I don't think there are any chairs that I remember of in the ward, and they were you cutting up dressings and things. One didn't do such things.
Did you only do sort of menial work of cleaning and preparing dressings, or did you actually give the soldiers medicine and change their dressings?
One helped with dressings, changing dressings. One did blanket baths, all that kind of thing. One of the jobs I hated most was cleaning the bathroom. I used to loathe cleaning the bath.
What condition were the men in when they arrived at Nottingham? Had they come from some other English hospital,
no,
or were they from France?
No, they usually had come from. They'd been cleaned up either on the trains or possibly at a temporary place in France. But they were very bad cases. But of course it was a big hospital and there were very many people above the VADs that did the surgical work.
Did you have male orderlies?
Not at Nottingham. Not in the wards, no.
So that's why you nurses ended up carrying the mattresses?
Yes, exactly. It was donkey work, it really was. And I wasn't terribly physically strong, not for that kind of work. We worked very hard at Welbeck, we had long hours. But it was a different type, you see. I didn't move much out of my surgery department.
At Nottingham, did you have both day and night duty?
I don't think that the ADs went on night duty. I certainly didn't. I don't think they did. They used to come in. the day.
Had you any idea what condition the soldiers were going to be in when you went to the hospital?
Oh, yes. You see, we used to get in the newspaper every day, there used to be columns and columns of the people that had been wounded. You always seemed to know somebody that was in the columns. It was very much more severe as far as that kind of thing than the last war.
Yes, though I should think it's different from reading that someone has been wounded and actually seeing some of the ghastly wounds that there were.
Oh, yes, but still, you were in a way prepared for it because you kept hearing about it. Somebody had got somebody. So it was. I think it possibly was that as the war got on and there were more and more wounded about, that made me want to go nursing. Because it would be.
Did you personally know anyone who was wounded? You said your brother was wounded. Was it severe?
Not very severe. He was brought home eventually on a stretcher to a hospital in Manchester. But I didn't see him because I was in Nottingham, you see.
So it wasn't because of him that you wanted to go out?
No. Oh, no. He wasn't very badly wounded, but he was wounded. My own family was very fortunate. We had many relations in the war, but they did all come back. Very fortunate. But so many friends didn't. It was quite common to see somebody's name in the paper. It was much nearer home in that kind of respect than the Second War.
Did that mean that there was a great deal of mourning being worn?
I don't think people wore an awful lot of mourning. But it was a very sad business. I used to meet people that say, oh, we've just had word that my son's been killed or been wounded. And of course, you see, there was no television and no radio. It was very different. News didn't travel like it did later.
Were you interested in keeping up with the war news?
Oh, yes, I think so. But you didn't hear it round every corner like you do now.
No, though there were newspapers, you would generally have news of things after they'd happened.
Yes, after they'd happened.
Sometime after. What about the men in hospital? Were they interested in following the war news, or did they want to be as far from the war as they could?
I don't think they were terribly interested. No, I wouldn't say they were. I think they were much more interested in their own little community and getting better. And it would, but I don't think ours did do that sort of thing, as I remember. No, I don't remember them doing that. They were very considering how wounded they were. They were extraordinarily cheerful. They'd joke about their difficult legs. And I remember that at Welbeck, some of them that were really stiff. Well, they must learn to dance. Well, you can imagine the fun trying to dance round Bumblefeet. But they were awfully willing to get back to doing things, which was rather astonishing at times.
Were they also willing to get back into the army and back to the front, do you mean?
Some of them were. But they didn't sit down and, oh dear, this leg will never move again and I shan't be able to do anything again. They didn't seem to be like that. They'd have a go at things.
Yes, I've often heard about their cheerfulness.
Yes, they were
Why
cheerful.
Do you suppose there were more men actually wounded in the First War than the Second? The casualties were greater.
Much greater.
How could everyone be so cheerful?
I think we were filled with patriotic endeavour all the time. There was a much, much better feeling amongst people. You'd give up everything. Anything you'd got, take it. Anything. Much more unselfish. Oh yes, much more.
It's an interesting point, because in retrospect, the First World War seems somewhat pointless. And it seems that a great many lives were wasted, perhaps for nothing.
Yes, but all the time, in those days, it was the war to end wars. That was the slogan all the time. And all the posters, Kitchener needs you, and all what have you see. We were all out to get it over, and anything for our country. Which was a wonderful spirit. One wonders now what will happen. Yes.
Sometimes when men were seen walking through the streets out of uniform, they were given white feathers.
Oh, yes. Yes. They were looked down upon. My younger brother, he didn't go because the family business was transport. And he was required for the transport. But he got very many nasty knocks, even from his own brother. I don't think my elder brother really ever got used to the fact that he did a useful job. There was always a little bit of bitterness between them to their deaths. But the younger one really was just as necessary. They were moving munitions and all what have you, and food and everything, you see. But there was always that little bit between them.
Yeah.
Then when the troops came home and the war was over, it was all honour and glory, but the ones that had stayed at home, they didn't have a very happy time of it.
No, also they often had more difficulty getting jobs later on without a military service record.
Yes. Oh, yes. There were a certain amount of shirkers, but the genuine ones, I think they did have a thin time of it.
Did you know any conscientious objectors or pacifists?
No, I can't say that I did. No, I don't think around me I came across them.
Did you know at the time that they existed?
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, and I should think they had a pretty hard time of it.
Yes, I think they did. Now, you said you wore a probationer's uniform. What was that like?
A striped dress.
Down to your ankles?
Oh, yes. And a white apron, more or less down also. And a little white, nasty starched cap stuck on one's head. And white, stiff collar, choked you each time you moved. And a white stiff belt. The VADs wore much the same that they wear. Oh, I don't know about wearing today. Originally they had stiff collars, but those were done away with. We wore Peter Pan ones, white. And the dresses weren't fitted dresses in my time. They were more like overalls, all straight down. They were kept in place by one's apron, but long.
Did you have to provide your own uniform?
Oh, yeah. The only thing I ever got free were passes on the railway for leave. I did travel free, but that was all.
How often were you allowed to go home or elsewhere on leave?
About every 3 or 4 months. I used to save up my half days, my days off, because I wanted to go back to see my parents. So I sometimes saved them up and I was allowed to stay away a night. It was worthwhile then.
Your parents were still in Manchester?
Yes, outside Manchester. My sister-in-law was in Nottingham. I used to go to her sometimes. She had my old home, she and my brother.
Was this your transport brother or your army
no,
brother?
No, the army brother. She was still living in the same ship.
When you were home on leave, were your parents interested in talking with you about your hospital experiences?
Not the least.
Did they try to convince you to come back home?
Not until the war ended. Now, our hospital went on until August 1919. And they did get a bit irritable. I don't see why you can't come home now. The war is over. People are all at home. And I used to say, maybe, but our particular wounded aren't at home. They're long-term people. And the hospital is not closed. So I stayed with it to the end, which was August 1919.